Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I mentioned earlier that we're starting a new sermon series called Somos del Señor, which means in Spanish, the pretty close translation is, we belong to God. And we're coming up on a time of year where we're culturally, we're celebrating some particular things, right? This weekend is what? Martin Luther King Jr.'s celebration on Monday, right? February begins Black History Month, right? We're also coming as a denomination upon a time where we're facing potential division in the denomination. Over the course of just this last week, I've read three articles from three different parts of the country about different pastors being interviewed about sort of what are they thinking about this. I don't know if you saw the UT this last Sunday. I was interviewed along with another couple of pastors. I don't know if you know this, but that was picked up by the LA Times on Tuesday of this past week. So this is news that's out there. I'm seeing articles in things like the New York Times and Washington Post, but also I saw something this week from the Orange County Register, and I don't remember the name of the paper, but a paper in Central Florida. There's lots of papers and lots of pastors and lots of people talking about this protocol, this potential division in the United Methodist Church. Culturally, we're looking at an impeachment trial in the Senate. I'm not taking sides on that from here. It's not my job, but it's important to know that there are people on either side of that conversation. And some of this comes across as a great sense of division. Politically, it just feels like there's a lot of division in the country right now. And so what better time to talk about how, in spite of these ways that we may experience or perceive division, that together we belong to God. That we are one in the body of Christ. That we are connected in ways that are bigger than denominations, that are bigger than politics, that are bigger than all of the ways we can sometimes divide ourselves. We are connected. We are one in Christ Jesus. And we must remember, as Paul reminds us, that what affects one part of the body affects it all. What would happen if the ear said to the eye, I have no use of you? If the hand said to the foot, you're useless, cut it off. We're connected in ways that are in some part, that our psychology friends would talk about family systems, but our theological friends would talk about the body of Christ. We are connected in ways that we think about logically, in ways that are mysterious. And yet it's my sense that we know and are familiar with and experience this connection. So it's good, it's right that we talk about belonging to God in this time. Now as we enter into today's text, as I said, we're going to be looking at Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, his first letter. So you would read it in your Bibles as 1 Corinthians. Okay. And we're starting at the very beginning of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. And it's a chapter that sometimes when the lectionary comes up, I didn't get a good scripture this time. This is just Paul's introduction. But let's talk about that for a minute. When I came in this morning, the very first thing that happened, I had been in my office. Cameron came in with me, and I was just finishing, I was printing something out of my office. And then I heard a noise outside. I was pretty sure I knew who I was hearing. And so I came out because Anastasia, who works in our nursery, was out there and the door was closed. She couldn't get in. She was about to text someone. And I came out of the office. She had her back to me. And so I called out from across the quad out here, Anastasia, it's Bob. I'm here. I feel like every time I see Anastasia, I scare her in some way. So her back was to me. I had called out, and so she sort of jumped a little bit, and that's just sort of the norm. I don't know why that's the norm for Anastasia and me, but that's the norm. I have a tendency to startle on it. Maybe I'm a startling kind of guy. I'm not sure. So she got in, and then I came into the sanctuary, and just a few minutes after I came in, Tim came up to help organize everything that would happen musically as musicians arrived and everything. And we had the conversation that we always have, right? We have a conversation about Fabergé, of course, and your recent trip to Russia, but also the exposition that you're working on. We always find things art-related to talk about, which I treasure, by the way. I want to say that. And then when worship started, I said all the things that I always say, right? In fact, I've been having to practice slowing down because I say the same things every single week, right? Welcome, check in on social media. I hope the spirit moves within you. The friendship paths, here's how you get connected. I say those things too fast sometimes because I say them every single week, and yet I choose to say them every single week because every single week we have someone who's never been here before. And I want that person to feel welcome. In all of these things, what I'm trying to highlight is that sometimes in our words of welcome, sometimes there are the same old things, and sometimes there's new things. And sometimes even in the same old things, you can catch something in tone or pacing that helps you to see whether or not there's something going on, or helps you to see, what is the direction of this conversation going to be. And I draw that sort of long illustration to point out that in Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, we can get some things just from his very regular Pauline introduction, right? If you look at Paul's letters, because he wrote a bunch of them, right? If you look at Paul's letters, it very often starts out, this is Paul, and I'm a servant of Christ, and I'm writing to this group of people, and I thank God for you. It's a very structured, maybe we should say methodical way, right? We're Methodists, okay? Methodical way of offering an introduction. And yet there are always these subtle differences. And so I'd like to turn your attention to our text this morning as Judy reads.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. From Paul, called by God's will to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, and from Sosthenes, our brother, to God's church that is in Corinth, to those who have been made holy to God in Christ Jesus, who are called to be God's people, together with all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place. He's their Lord and ours. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always for you, because of God's grace that was given to you in Christ Jesus. That is, you were made rich through him in everything, in all your communication and every kind of knowledge, in the same way that the testimony about Christ was confirmed with you. The result is that you are not missing any spiritual gift while you wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also confirm your testimony about Christ until the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, and you were called by him to partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Paul opens the letter with his standard greeting, it seems. From Paul, called by God's will to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, and from Sosthenes, our brother. I spent quite a bit of time this week trying to figure out who Sosthenes is. And mostly we don't know. There's a little bit of conjecture. See, there's this verse in Acts, I think it's chapter 18, where there's a little bit of conflict with a leader in the Roman occupiers. There's a little bit of conjecture that maybe Sosthenes is actually a different name for somebody who's who's connected with that. We're not really sure, but the reason I bring that up is because most academics would agree that when Paul writes this first letter to the church in Corinth, it's a church that's experiencing some kind of conflict. It's a church that's experiencing some kind of division. And we get that later on, later on in verse 2, when Paul writes, together with all those who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ in every place, he's their Lord and ours. Do you see how with that theirs and ours language, it seems clear that there's some kind of conflict, there's some kind of division, there's some kind of separation. And so there's conjecture with whoever this Sosthenes is, that perhaps this is someone who is a representative of whatever group it is with whom there is conflict. And Paul writes saying, listen, it's not just me writing, it's not just me imploring you, but I'm not alone. And we're writing in unity. So that's who it's from. But then Paul writes about who it's to God's church that is in Corinth. Just a little tangent. Sometimes do we forget that this is God's church? I can't tell you how many times I hear someone talk about, well, this is my church, about this thing, and my church does this, and my church, it's not your church. And it's just a little language thing. It's just a little, but it's something I'm working on, and so I thought I'd impose this on you too. To God's church that is in Corinth, to those who have been made holy, to those who have been sanctified. Do you ever think about yourself as being made holy? And pay attention, it's in the past tense. It's already happened. To you, my friends who are sanctified, to you, my friends who are already made holy. Perhaps we should hear this letter to us as well, in part, as a reminder that God's work is already begun in us. To those who have been made holy to God in Christ Jesus, who are called to be God's people. It's interesting, Paul uses that word call several times. He talks about God's will and God's call. The very first verse from Paul, called by God's will to be an apostle. Here, this verse that we're talking about, together to all those who call upon, made holy in to God in Christ Jesus, who are called to be God's people. And the very last verse, verse 9, God is faithful, and you were called by him to participate with his son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see how Paul talks about this sense of call? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you. And peace to you. In the times that we find ourselves in conflict, in the times that we find ourselves divided, grace abounds. Peace is possible. Grace and peace to you, my friends. And then Paul says in this fourth verse something that I think that we've lost sight of. I thank my God always for you. And the reason I think that little bit is something we've lost sight of is because I don't think culturally these days we do very well with gratitude. I think we're wrestling with gratitude. I think we're wrestling with being thankful. And part of that is this whole cultural sense of scarcity. And that's not just in money, that's not just in stuff, that's not just in power, that's in all the ways we can feel like there's not enough. Sometimes we forget to be grateful. And yet I think gratitude is critically important. In fact, it's so important that during the season of Lent, we're planning a series based on a book by Diana Butler Bass called Gratitude. If you've not read the book, this is your notice that you might want to take a look. We're going to pair that with a small group study because it's so important to talk about gratitude, because in a lot of ways it's lost on us. Anyway, Paul says, I thank my God always for you because of God's grace that was given to you in Christ Jesus, That is, you were made rich through him in everything, in all your communication and in every kind of knowledge, in the same way that the testimony about Christ was confirmed with you. The result is that you aren't missing any spiritual gift. Friends, you are not lacking. When we find ourselves facing incredibly difficult circumstances, what's going to happen to this denomination? Are we going to be United Methodists 6 months from now? Are we going to be something else? What's going to happen in the presidential primaries or the election in November? Who are we going to be? What are we going to be? How are we going to identify ourselves? What about this church in particular? You know, set aside the political stuff and the denominational stuff. Set all that aside for a minute. You know, I've tried to be really authentic about we're struggling right now. We're experiencing some change with a new worship style. Some people are kind of upset about that. Other people love the new worship service. We can't please all the people all the time. Well, that's a Lincoln quote I've made before. What's going to happen with this church, even with this service that hasn't changed, experiencing some decline in membership? What are we going to do? I shared last week that sometimes I wrestle. I put a lot of pressure on myself. I remind myself that this is where the buck stops. And yet last week I also reminded us all that it's not my church, it's God's church. And we are ministers together in this congregation. See, one of the things that I love about the United Methodist tradition is we affirm that we are all called to some kind of ministry. And it might be a music ministry, and it might be an administrative ministry, and it might be a technical ministry, and it might be an organizational ministry, and it might be a greeting ministry, and it might be a ministry that serves people who are hungry, and it might be a ministry that proclaims pride by building floats or creating decorations in a worship space. It might be the ways that we explore divinity through art history. There are so many ways that I believe that we are called to ministry, that I believe that we together can do whatever must be done so that this congregation, specifically this one, continues to thrive and to evolve, and I hope, my friends, to grow. Is it up to all of us? Yes. Is it up to all of us as ministers in God's church? Yes. Is it up to all of us to remember that we are called? Is it up to all of us to prayerfully spend time listening for what it is that God calls us to do, for how God calls us to participate, for how God calls us to be ministers in God's church? Yes. But my friends, we are not lacking. In part because we are not all an ear and we are not all an eye. We are not all a foot, and we are not all a hand. We each bring beautiful and unique and capable gifts to, along with God, face whatever challenge is in front of us. As we explore this series on how we belong to God, the very first step must be that we are united in Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are empowered by God's Holy Spirit. And that we are not lacking. In this, my friends, we might find hope. In this, my friends, we might find peace. In this, my friends, we might find that driving spirit that moves us forward. I invite you to hear the voice of God as we take a new step into a new place to do God's new thing. Amen. Friends, let's enter into a time of prayer. Holy God, as we are gathered together this day, in this time of worship in this place, help us to experience your presence. Help us to hear your call. Help us to feel the strange warming of our hearts. Help us to hear the still small voice that reminds us not only that we are ministers in your church, that we are called to participate in the new thing that you have already begun. Help us through this experience of you to also experience the connection with those who are in this place today, those who may be missing from our midst, but with whom we have a spiritual connection, and to be reminded that we are united in the body of Christ, that we are connected by your Holy Spirit, and that we are all children of you, our divine Creator. In this connection, O God, we lift up prayers of your people, prayers of this connection. We lift up those who travel on a weekend where travel is common. God, we lift up our African American siblings on this weekend of celebrating the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, whose letter from a Birmingham jail reminds us that we must not be silent in the face of injustice, but indeed that our call is to speak profoundly and speak prophetically. God, we are mindful of those places around the world that continue to endure natural disaster. And we are mindful of the places in this world where human disaster takes place. Finally, God, we lift up this denomination and this church. Let us be reminded that none of it's ours, that all of it is yours. God, we lift up all these things and any that are left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.